Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Petzo. This is Money Matters, and our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave at petzofinancial.net. And what a stunning time we live in, right? When the baseball game, the All-Star game, is moved. Now, I'm not a baseball fan anymore. Ever since they went on strike a number of years ago and killed America's pastime, and they did, the viewership has been down. I was one of them, right? And it just kind of pulled me away. And once you're pulled away, you find that life has a lot of other things that pull at your time, right? You know, a young family, all those things. You just kind of, back in the day, you're just kind of busy, so you don't spend a lot of time. So I don't know. I don't watch. But this era of woke, not truth, but woke, and this era of 100% leftist progressive propaganda on almost all the media, all of the time, drives us crazy. Now, don't worry. Just bear with me. This again feeds into this feeling. It's never going to get better. Or we are going to have an economic comeuppance that will destroy the markets. You need to buy gold. Fear sells. And fear is what you hear all the time. It's not new. It's not a new commentary of mine to talk about fear and fear selling. But it's why people will be buying products that don't work, that can't work, because they fulfill this need, this ability to say it's guaranteed. You know, the truth is, and there would be a truth in a fiduciary relationship. What is a fiduciary relationship? Big word for you have to do what's right for the client, both legally and morally. Not just morally. You must do it legally. And fiduciary means there's no commissions. There's no outside income for selling a product. None. No trip to Disneyland for pointing to certain products, what have you, right? That's why all financial commentators always say, you really need to ask that question. You really need to understand what that is. I mean, there's literally people out there now that say, there's no fees. Reduce your fees. Like, a 10% commission is not a fee. I mean, come on. It doesn't make any sense. But that's the world we're in. So you have to be guarded with it. But more than that, isn't it amazing how we just fall for the word guarantee? As if, because life is so uncertain, so unknown, that we want to somehow put a guarantee on it. Now, we'll run and gamble. That's not a problem. That's actually a guarantee to lose. We will gamble with stocks through Reddit/Robinhood. However you think about it. We want to bet on every sports game. These are areas that are just booming economically, right? I mean, the companies that do online sports betting are exploding. Their stocks are going to the moon. Their profits are skyrocketing because we like to gamble. But what is interesting, too, is that's on one hand. On the other, we have this like weird disbelief that the markets work. Yes, they've worked your whole life. Yes, they have. They go up and they go down. And then in the end, they're always going higher to all-time highs. Always. How many all-time highs has it hit in your lifetime? 1,000? 5,000? Thousands of times it goes to all-time highs. But that seems risky. But here's some money for the Knicks game. Weird. I need to have a guarantee on this. or I won't feel good. But what if that guarantee is it won't work? That's never disclosed, I understand. But we have to understand that when we hide in fear, it pushes us. And so when we have this world that's completely upside down, backwards, weird, and so woke, nope, you can't be woke enough. You can't. You have to be a woman that to even have a shot at being woke. Probably you have to be a minority woman to even have a shot. And you never knew how racist you really were. It is weird. It's throwing all of us off, and it makes us feel so down that we pull out. We make terrible emotional decisions. This can't ever work. When the election happens, the market's going to tank, especially if they lose the Senate, especially if this happens, and when the taxes hit, and when this hits and that hits. Look, sometimes fundamentally it's just like this, and I'm going to say it again for the umpteenth time. We are opening up. That is an economic boom. It doesn't make any difference. None. Who's in the White House? The policies are horrible. We know that. Tax increases are a terrible idea. Increasing government is always in every country, in every era of our lives, any life before, is a horrible, corrupt, please have more corruption. When we have more government, it's an invitation to that. It's all horrible. And we are going to grow. It's horrible. Fight the good fight. But stay invested, because we're opening up. That's the bottom line. That's the fundamental thing we have to remember. It's not just a 6% unemployment number already. Already. It's not just that California, New York, and others that just love to lock people in their houses. They love the power of that. They love it. But they can't stop it anymore, because everybody's going to Florida and going to Texas and they're heading to the Midwest because they want their life back. They're getting on airplanes. They're full. Check the TSA numbers. Not just my anecdotal evidence of the last few airplane rides I've been on. Yeah, they're full. And they're actually asking people to get off the plane. They're too full. They're overbooked. Remarkable. Feel it? We're opening. Don't let the politics, the noise, the mess, the fear conquer you. It is. It's so weird. It's so filled with awful propaganda. It feels like they won. The bad guys won. The big government guys won. The high taxes, the control, lack of freedom. Guys won. Mm-mm. It's not over. It's not over. But it certainly isn't over in the markets, okay? So don't worry about that so much. Don't let it infect your thinking about investments. At some point, you have to stop and say, I'm wrong. I've been wrong. I've always thought of what was going to go wrong, and I've been wrong for tens of thousands of points. At some point, it's not like, I'm a little early. No, you're decades early. You have bent your mind to be assured of and look for. See, we all see what we're looking for, right? If you're looking for bad, you'll find it easy. If you're out there looking for what's wrong, you'll find it. You'll find it. You'll find it in people. You'll find it in the markets. You'll find it in the professionals that serve you. Yeah, I don't really like that. You will see what you are looking for. Always. If we look for fear, we'll see it. We look for what's wrong all the time. We find that easy. And the media is there to help. All right, I got to take a quick break, you guys that are on hold. We'll be right back with Money Matters at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Let's go to the phones real quick and see what we can get done before the end of the hour. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hello. Uh-oh, did we forget to push the button?
Hello.
Yeah, hang in there, Jim.
Turn off the music.
Yeah. Oh, there's a button that needs to get pushed. Okay. I don't know what button it is, but Jim, hang on. We'll grab you in the next hour, okay? And YouTube
okay.
Pro-Life, because I can hear you. Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Two things I wanted to mention. You brought, talking to Kevin. Okay, you said, for instance, like in Oregon and Portland, people following orders in today's world, they seem to, especially with the internet, they like to follow orders more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you thought it was more or less a human trait, a desire for freedom. Well, I would beg to differ. I think history sees it differently. There have always been fights for freedom, but there have always been regimes. Mm-hmm. Hitler, Mussolini, Tojo, none of those guys could have done it alone. The second thing is science. Now, you believe in the vaccine, and you say you believe in science, but a large part of science is testing. Testing takes time. And so unless you have proper science, it's like, instant science. And I don't think there is such a proper science. Those are the two things I had a complaint with.
Okay. All right. Well, number one, I agree with you as far as what the regimes of the world are, because freedom is hard, right? Because people, not all people by any stretch, can deem to want to do their lives. We take the breakup of the Soviet Union, and the old people didn't know what to do. They liked the oppression. I mean, because they didn't know what to do. People that get out of prison don't know what to do if they've been in for decades. They have freedom, but like in the Shawshank Redemption, right, where that old guy, finally he kills himself because he just doesn't know how to exist outside of a rule-based program where he's told what to do. But the reality is that we've all continued to seek after freedom, whether it was from the British in Scotland, right? It's all of those ancient histories that want to break away and have their own. Say. Now, granted, then it always leads to yet another regime. America is special and different because we've hung on to that for decades. All right, let's turn that down for just a second. Jim, and the second part, we're going to have to come back to. I just can't completely deal with that, but I will tell you, I'll be happy to talk about that some more. Jim, thank you for your call. Pro-Life, if you want to hang on, we'll grab you in the next hour after our opening monologue, or you can call back, and we'll put you right up to bat. Either way. All right, well, obviously you hear the music. We are going to talk some more in the next hour about how much we are opening up. The economy is super strong. It is super strong. It's ridiculously strong. We need to understand that even as the world is, it's upside down. I get it. But don't let it frighten you out of your investment positions. All right. You hear the music? We're out of here. Fox News is next, and then we'll be back with hour number two. Thanks for joining us. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters is upcoming, and of course, as I always like to remind people, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station's, and we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell, just to think about the overall markets and give general direction, really, and hopefully think through some of these problems, if you will, that blow up in our minds and understand the long-term nature of the markets in such a short-term world. What's the market going to do? And we all check. We check sometimes multiple times during the day. Like, that has an impact on our ability to retire in 10 years and how much money we're going to have in 25 years. It has no impact. And leads us further from the truth. that markets work. Maybe not today, but always in the long run. Always. And of course, we do go through times where we are tested, if you will. I mean, I think of this a lot. I think of the markets a lot. Not on a short-term basis, but a long-term one. Why is it, or how is it, that we have this mechanism where the average person, below average income person, can become wealthy and not start a business? I mean, we all know the great stories of people that come up and really don't have much money or any, right? And have millions of dollars, right? Because they worked hard, they created a business, whether it's some kind of a cool new business or it's some kind of an amazing thing like, you know, they just have a great plumbing business and service it and do a great job and hire people. And then, bam, they've made it. All great stuff. But let's say you're working there and you just take and you put a few bucks away every month out of every paycheck, just a few, small percentage. And then you put it into the great corporations of the world. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Some of them go away. Some of them just are amazing. Others are just okay. And altogether, it grows 10%. So that a cup of coffee a day, $5 a day, for the past 40 years, which is no different than the 40 years measured 5 years ago or 10 years ago, is $1.1 million. It's amazing. It's stunning. It's so simple. It's so unbelievable. It sounds like it's just like too good to be true. Because that's always been true. So what is the price of that, the cost of that? Because it is so much better than anything else. Nothing else is even close. You put in a savings account, you have a couple hundred thousand dollars. It's not even close. It's magnitudes better than anything else. And it works through every generation, every time. And what we have to do is we have to put up with the occasional correction. This doesn't go straight up. And through that whole thing, this is what is amazing to me. So all of history shows this, okay? It's like running a science project, right? So you're doing a science project. And all of the data show result X. Okay, so we have a conclusion, we have a committee get together, all of the scientists look at the data and go, absolutely, we're certain that the answer is X. Because all the data shows that. So all the data shows that this investment thing will work, it always has, but nobody puts a guarantee on it. If you will, maybe the experiment we're running has these side effects. We can't guarantee the results. Okay? Always works. So what do? We run around on the internet going, oh my gosh, you know, the dollar's going to collapse. The inflation's going to go running away. Joe Biden is senile, and he's really no more than a pawn for Sanders and Warren. Yeah, it's all true. Man, we run all these things down. Why? To prove that this time, that won't work. What you need to do, because it's such a scary world, is you need to put it into an annuity. Or buy gold. You heard Pat Boone, famous singer, talking about what? Cash. Something about cash, that they're trying to take it away from you. Well, and I'm sure there's some people out there going, well, aren't they trying to do that? Isn't that obvious to you? I've been on the internet and I've... Fine. And what does that have to do with the markets? With the fact that 40 years from now, a cup of coffee a day will be worth somewhere around $1 million. What does that have to do with it? What did it have to do with it when all the gold bugs were going crazy in the 1980s? Gold went to $800 an ounce in 1980 when I started. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 800. Now $10,000 invested in gold is worth, you know, like 20, 22. And it's worth well over $100,000 in the Dow. I don't know. It just kind of works. Magnitudes better than anything else. But it's just constant. And when we get our faces pounded in by the news all the time, you think you're plugged in, you're wired in, you're being intelligent to sit there and just beat yourself to death with what you already believe? Incredible. Incredible negative everything, energy, negative thought, negative world out there. And we dig deeper into it. For what? We pretend for clarity. Seriously? Seriously, diving in to financial pornography is, in fact, going to give you more clarity. You're right. More peace. Mm-hmm. Greater understanding. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It will. As the, here we are in Easter, right? There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. All negative, all the time. It's always been that way. You know, Jim pointed out earlier, you know, disagree that everything, all, people want freedom, but then we all have tyranny. It's the same thing. When we're afraid of our own lives, we're afraid to make decisions ourselves, we look for a government to pay for everything. Like, you know, you black people, you can't figure it out. Let's go ahead and pay you. Now, that's not racist. Before somebody gets all fired up about it. I don't think it's kind, generous, anything except a total racist thing to give people money to keep them enslaved instead of giving them opportunity. And that, you know what, in the big cities, the inner cities, and the lack of school choices, the lack of schools doing a good job keeps them there. That's racism. All in the name of doing good. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing. All bad, all the time. Keep everybody negative. It's the way to control everything. And for you and I, it keeps us buying really bad products. It keeps us in fear. We bury gold in our backyards instead of living life, investing, and becoming wealthy, starting a business. All of those things. Why would you start a business if you thought the world was ending? Why would you go get an education if it doesn't matter? Because it's all going to heck in a handbasket. Everything we do is based on hope. Why would we always, when all of the evidence is in front of us, this works, and it works for poor people, average people, just the same as it works for rich people. You don't need to have $1 million to do this. You need $50 to start. Nowadays, with Robinhood, I think you can do it for $5. I don't recommend it because, you know, hey, it's like a pretty little video game. You don't want to do that. You don't. $50 gets you started. A cup of coffee a day in 40 years is over $1 million. Or you can dump it into something that won't work. You can react with your finances emotionally. That doesn't sound smart at all. It's always worked. Let it work. Yeah, everything's upside down. It is. It's been that way before. But it's not the financial end. Not yet. But if you hang out in the right corners, it doesn't take much to just get dumped into all of these negative, by gold, the world's ending stuff. And you're in there. All right, let's change directions here. Let's go to pro-life. Pro-life, you've been waiting for like 30 minutes. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your patience. I need to go work, but I thought I'd hang on. But anyway, you know, when you are talking about, now I'm very optimistic about our economy, mm-hmm. because when you get the governments and the world culture as messed up as it is, it can't get any worse. It's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't stupid. I mean, they get pretty weak and they're peer pressure oriented and they do things that they shouldn't do, but they come out of it, you know. But sometimes it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about investing in things, I believe we should invest in things, but I believe that they should be essential and beneficial for mankind. Now, you know, so I wouldn't invest in professional sports. I mean, if I had a great body, I wouldn't even... you know, when I was young and I thought I could become a professional athlete, I wouldn't go that way because that's not essential and beneficial. Some people might define it like that, but agriculture, construction, transportation, communications, all kinds of things that are going to be there forever that we need and everyone will use, I'm saying that's what you should invest in. And whether you do it through a stock market or you do that by buying those things or having that kind of a business. But I think otherwise you and your family for generations can get in some kind of a wrongful road to go down if you don't go with beneficial and essential things that really mean something. And then, but every individual has to decide what truth is. And then if you really believe what the truth, you know, is organic agriculture better than commercial agriculture, than chemical agriculture? Well, then you have to go down to, now I've decided organic agriculture, so I'm an organic farmer. But, you know, like, and then is electric cars going to overcome internal combustion engines? You know, if I was young, I'd probably, and I wanted to be in transportation, automobiles, I'd go and study all the electrical cars. I'd just get real good at it, and then I'd have my own aftermarket repair of electrical vehicles, you know, the drivetrains
mm-hmm.
and the batteries, because the batteries can be restored. They take the little individual ones. They know how to find those, and then they put the new battery in there, and so they can rebuild your battery. But so that's all I'm saying is... I want people to really individually determine what truth is, not by some expert telling you invest here and do this or whatever. You have to really believe what you're doing and go after it. And it has to be, I'm telling you, essential and beneficial. And you'll take your family down the right road. So mm-hmm. that's all I got to say.
Pro-life, I think that's well said. I thank you for hanging
right.
on and sharing your heart with us. So.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you, and you have a great Easter.
Bye.
Bye now. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. And I think we'll just leave it on that because it is a nice thing to think about and ponder and what drives your heart, what drives your goals, because that is what, you know, it's often said if you're doing something you love, you never work a day in your life. That is absolutely true. But there certainly are things in my life, and I love what I do. But I don't love every day or every aspect of everything I do. But in the end, it's my passion. And in the end, I find great joy in it. And I wish that for everybody. And I think that that's really a good point that pro-life makes, is that you find your passion. If it's electric vehicles, learn all about them. Don't just say that's your passion. Get after it. Learn everything you can. Learn everything you can. All right. We're going to be right back. Our number, 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Amazing. Micron earnings, unbelievable this past quarter. Chip shortages, higher prices, stunning. Stunning numbers, stunning cash flow. And even looking, apparently, at the possibility of buying out another manufacturer in Japan. So Micron may be looking at another acquisition. We'll see. Very expensive. Wall Street isn't sure they should do it, afford it, what have you. We'll see. We'll see what they do. And, of course, Micron can't be bought by a foreign company, in my opinion. I would guess they wouldn't be because of obvious problems with defense, if you will. I can't imagine that the United States does not want a chip manufacturer located in the United States and that they would let that go outside. But, okay. All right. You want some stuff to worry about? I'll give you some stuff to worry about. The president of the United States is clearly either unable to govern by himself and doesn't care, or is never been a moderate because higher corporate taxes are going to be a huge problem. There's many, many problems, of course. All this woke stuff, all the voting things, all those things are all about making sure that the Democrats stay in power and the unions that they serve stay rich. All of that, I believe, gets pushed back. But where will we be pushed back from? And as we look at the budget deficits that are expanding at an unbelievable pace, and nobody wants to talk about it, I think the latest was we shouldn't be talking about infrastructure of only $3 trillion. We need 10. I think AOC said that. These are Looney Tune ideas, of course. Making government bigger is not making government better. It never has been. Never. Ever. Unless what you are a recipient of crony capitalism. Corruption, in other words. If you're a recipient of that, you like it. There's people in Brazil that think Brazil runs great. There's people in Venezuela that thought that Venezuela ran great. It ran great for them. But when we raise taxes, theoretically, on a business, do they create more jobs in the United States, or do they make more jobs overseas where tax rates aren't so high? What do you think? It's really not a hard economic question. Where do you think that goes? Does it go to more production to generate more profits, or does it go to more tax-favored things that aren't as productive? You know, there's literally programs out there for land set aside so that wealthy people, high-income people, like me, can be really green. We can puff our chest out and we can do land set aside things. They're called scenic easements. And you can get a 100% rate of return because of tax breaks as soon as you put the money in. That second. But more importantly, at a cocktail party, I can tell people how green I am and how well I did by putting land aside. And don't you see the halo over my head? Aren't I something? it's really something. How many tax breaks and things there are in a million word tax code. So yes, long term, we have to deal with this. Long term, these tax hikes are horrible. Nobody saw this coming, or did they? The leftists in control, grabbing a crisis like Corona and passing trillions of dollars of debt onto your grandkids so that they can pay off the teachers' unions and others. Brilliant, of course, with no long-term repercussions. Yes, there are. And raising taxes. We just lowered taxes to become competitive with the rest of the world. And it worked. Jobs were coming to the United States. We had the lowest unemployment rate for all people ever in our history. That's amazing. It does work. We're undoing it. But we're reopening. Don't mix the two up. These are not good things. It's more sand in the engine of the American economy. But we are opening. It's going to explode. The economy is going to boom. We're going to take a break for Fox News. We'd love to have your calls or your emails. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. It's 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436, and it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I've got an email I will read here in a little bit. It's a good one, and I'm just going to have to say to Brendan, sorry about that. This was sent actually a couple months ago, and it got buried in my stuff. So bad me, but we're going to get to it, okay? But right now, let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, I was listening to, one of those evil survival podcasts is what they call it. And in the podcast number 2846 in the intro, he came up with a quote from a guy named Clifford Stoll. And it was just went on with what you've been talking about data and overload and everything. And I thought it's kind of interesting.
Well, good. Fire away.
Data is not information. Information is not knowledge. Knowledge is not understanding, and understanding is not wisdom.
Mm-hmm. That is what I talk about all the time. Who's that quote from?
Pardon me?
I've talked about that for years now.
A fellow named Clifford
data,
Stoll.
Knowledge and wisdom and all. Yeah. Information.
And it's just interesting, again, that survival podcasts to say be prepared and grow your own food and all that, buy some gold and do some crypto and all. But it just struck me. I said, Dave might like to get that. So if you go out and pull that episode number 2846 down and listen to the first 5 or 6 minutes of it, you'll get that and a little more background on what all that's about.
I appreciate that, Terry. That's great. And what's it called now? What's the basic thing called, though?
The Survival Podcast.
Survival Podcast. All right.
It's free out on iTunes.
Podcast. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And would you read that one more time for everybody, Terry?
Okay, from Clifford Stoll, data is not information. Information is not knowledge. Knowledge is not understanding, and understanding is not wisdom.
Good. I like that. Thank you, sir.
Hey, I did have a question, though.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So, if you got to go, you got to go.
No, fire away.
On Roth IRAs, who is allowed to set one up and contribute to it? Because my grandson is being run around by the Army recruiters and is going to enlist, but I thought that would be something. He's getting married, and I'd like to set it up for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if I'm allowed to contribute to his Roth IRA.
Yes, You are. The difference is, and I do for my kids. In fact, I will just tell you, it's something that I think if you have extra resources, I think beyond, you need to take care of you first, right? Right. But
for kids, Eric is already doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is, you can do that to whatever level you want. And also, even if you can't do much, just the idea of starting one is a great idea. But the person has to be working, okay?
Right.
But yes, you can do it on a 16-year-old, as an example, if they have work. They have to have 1099 W2 income. That you have to have that.
Okay.
And it can't be investment income or anything like that. But if they have a job and are reporting that for taxes, they can have a Roth IRA. Now, you can only put, let's say they make $2,000 a year. That would be the maximum then you could put away.
Okay? Right. Well, I just figured it. Well, I think the Army counts as a job. But
it totally does count as a job. You said they're running him around. He's not enlisted. But that doesn't mean that he didn't have some job that he made a couple $1,000s on.
I'm looking down the road here, too, and I thought once they get squared away with that, it'd be a nice wedding present for them all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, it's a nice wedding present for sure. But, yes, you can contribute. You bet you.
All right. Well, I'll talk to Eric about all that stuff when we get closer to the final on it.
Sounds good, Terry. Have a great day.
Thanks again, sir,
for the quote. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. I'll tell you what. And also Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Okay. Let's go and take care of this one real quick here. And then we will jump on our final break and have a big chunk of time to finish up with your questions. All right. I'm wondering what a late start at getting the stock market might possibly look like for a guy my age. I've listened to you on the radio for a while now. I'm 55 and own no stock outside my Idaho pension plan. I do own two rental homes free and clear. My own home is nearly paid off, very small HELOC on it, and no other debt. I keep a little cash, about $35,000. If I had to guess net worth, somewhere around $850,000 to $875,000 if you include my contributions to defined benefit plan, which doesn't really matter because inside the PERSI, the whole benefit is taking a lifetime income, right? Okay, I earn just under $60,000 as a teacher. We take home about $21,000 in rent annually, and my wife makes $20,000. Okay, and then we have a little business that makes about $1,000. Each additional year, the PERSI plan goes up $150. All right, you can use part or all of this, just don't use my real name. And we never do. So if anybody sends an email, if you want, you can even send your phone number if we have a follow-up question to ask you regarding it. But certainly we will never use your name on air, not unless you specifically ask us to, and I probably wouldn't anyway. All right. So here it is. Is it too late to get started? First of all, it's really never too late. To some degree, if you're 65 years old, it's probably kind of sort of too late, right? But it's never really too late. And the reason why is because when you're talking about stocks, they grow and they have a growth of income. So if you're able to put a couple of bucks away, then that income can be reinvested for a few years, along with hopefully a few more dollars on top of it. So regardless of what age you are, and certainly at 55, if you invested for the next 10, 15 years, you should have a nice little chunk sitting there at 70 to maybe supplement what I like to call better than beer money in your retirement when you're 70. Maybe you can retire earlier, but my point is letting that money grow will make a difference. It really does. So it's not too late at all. And I would think about that from the standpoint also of these homes. So once you get an investment started, you also have rentals out there, and the idea of keeping them forever may not be a great idea for you. It may not actually have a very good return for you. But by starting another investment program, you're also learning about investing, the ups and downs, and the fact that they continue to grow. And by having that, it may feel more, easier, if you will, to sell one of your or both of your rentals and do something different. Maybe you don't want to take care of them anymore. Maybe, like all things, they've kind of hit their peak value. they just don't keep growing much at this point. Maybe a little of inflationary increase, but the area is degenerating. The home itself is going to take major, $100,000, $200,000 renovation to really bring it up to date. These things all happen. They all do. They happen to every home, everywhere, but in particular rentals. They're not your home. People don't take care of them the way they do their own homes. So it may reach a point where you go, you know what? If I really have $800,000 in value, pay a little tax and move on to something else, may be a better alternative. So I like the idea of you getting an account started to learn more about it and to build comfort with it. Because long term, there is always a time that rentals should go. I know a guy that ended up with 60 rentals in Weezer. He couldn't even sell them. There's a time and a place, and in the end, they may not have that much value. Now, all investments have a cycle, right? They really do. You think about it with stocks. We talk about the general stock market, but was IBM always a one-decision stock? No. No, it hasn't done much. Was HP always a good investment? No, yeah, it was for a long time. But it sure hasn't been the last 20 years. There's always a cycle. I get that in individual stocks. And I feel that's true with real estate and many other things, which is why it may become time to let that go. All right. Hey, thank you so much. And I do appreciate you. I apologize for this being 2 months out. That's terrible. But I fall on my sword. We got it done. And I hope we answered your question. Follow up if we have any others. Okay. If you have any others, our number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Our final break, final segment upcoming. Plenty of time to give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. If you have any comments and questions, go to PetsoFinancial.com. Shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. You can even call and yell at us if you want to. That's okay, too. Well, actually, you can't yell at us. You can yell at me. You cannot yell at the ladies that are taking your calls. That's not nice. So you can't do that. But you call and get a hold of us there. Anyway, PetsoFinancial.com. We also have our podcasts. And if you want, you can certainly just have them downloaded at the Apple Store and Google, whatever Google's is called. But anyway, they're out there. And we are now even doing some YouTube. And I do have a high recommendation for a couple of them, especially for people that haven't been and don't consider themselves to be super sophisticated stock market people. Dow 30,000. It's nothing more than a story from the 1980s. It is really a fun walk from that time. All the things that happened on our way from 800 to 30,000 and what that meant to people's, if you will, the general wealth of this nation, of the world. It's been something else. Absolutely something else. And yes, it coincides with when I started in the industry. So there you go. But it's not a story about me. It's a story about all of us old folks' life. That's what it is. Anyways, check it out there on YouTube. That's Petzl Financial on YouTube. And let's go to Ken. Ken, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. I've enjoyed the show this morning. I wanted to kind of bounce my hedge strategy by you and get your opinion on it. You know, I'm like everybody else when I read the news, and it makes me nervous.
Sure. Yeah, it's because you're in my 70s. Yeah.
I'm in my 70s. Been retired for a few years now. Our investment portfolio is about $2.4 million. The overwhelming majority of it is in equities. But I keep a small amount in what's called a guaranteed fund. It's I'm sure you're familiar with TIAA.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's their traditional product. It has a floor of 3%. It's been running, 3.1, 3.2, just a little over 3.
Okay.
But it's a small portion of my portfolio. It varies between about 10 and 15%, depending on what the equities are doing. But that's kind of makes me feel a little bit more secure. If we have a market dip and I need money, I just take it out of there, and I don't have to sell low.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't have any problem with that. The fact is, you got an overwhelming number of equities to keep up with inflation. That's plenty. I would the only difference, let's say, for me to you is that I would rather be generating the income from, say, dividend paying stocks. I mean, Pfizer's yielding 4%. I'm just picking on that as a number. I'm not telling you to go buy Pfizer. And again, I don't mean to lay everybody on with all these disclosures. I have no idea what your portfolio looks like, so don't go out and buy anything we're talking about. I'm just giving you an idea of what some of the yields are out there, right? You've got that. You've got Johnson & Johnson. You've got all these companies that have raised their dividends for 40, 50 years. Procter & Gamble's raised it for over 70 years in a row. 70 in a row. And yeah, they raised it in 08 and 09, and they raised it last year during the coronavirus. I mean, it's just people don't understand sometimes the income story that stocks are. Now, as we say that, though, Ken, I'm not saying you've overdone it here by putting half your portfolio in something that can't do better than inflation, okay? You haven't. And if you're comfortable there and keeping all the equities over there, and there's another reason why. I'm just poking at it, right? I'm just poking at your beautiful plan here. And the other reason that you mentioned is if I need money. Now, what would you need money for? Are you wanting cash flow, or do you occasionally dip in and take a chunk because now it's time to replace a car, things like that? And where that car slash other things comes from is I look at the portfolio and I say, all right, stocks are up, so it's coming out of that. Stocks are down, it's coming out of the guarantee. How does that actually operate in real world? Or is it just one of those things you say to yourself that you go, well, if I need money, and I never have, but if I need money?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And, you know, I dip in for, like you say, the luxuries, a new car, some remodeling, a big trip, overseas. They're really can be pretty planned expenditures. So.
Okay, well, good. Then if you are using it, I don't disagree with it. Not enough to materially go, yeah, I would do it a little different. Sure. And you might think about take the percentage down a little bit. Have you ever, for example, taken out more than 5% or in a year of your overall capital? In other words, you're looking at it going, no, I never have had a luxury item that's more than $100,000.
No.
Okay.
I don't have to. I've got good enough income outside of that that
correct.
Takes care of all our everyday needs, and it's just fun money.
So what I would probably do is take that down below the 10% number to whatever comfort level you have, and just simply say, all right, yeah, if I take money, it's like 50 grand. Okay, well, on a 2.4 million, we all know that that's a very small percentage, okay, of the whole thing, right? So if you kept some in the guarantee, a small amount, rather than generating income in selected, you don't have to go select the stocks, by the way. They've got all kinds of ETFs out there that by the dividend aristocrats, dividend raisers, we use them in portfolios. There are multiple ones out there that trade, you know, very well, very liquid, and extremely cheap to own. And they just buy you. And then you can take the income and let it pour into cash in your portfolio. If you don't use it and the market goes down, good for you. Then you can turn around and reinvest it, get even more income. But that's only a thought. I think your plan is a good one. I just would, you know, for me, I'd modify it just a titch.
Yeah, some good things to think about. I appreciate the info.
You got it. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Have a great
day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Happy Easter. Bye-bye.
Yeah, happy Easter to you.
Thank you. All right, we're running low here on time. So I just want to, I do have to address this quick question. Jim asked a really good question earlier, a comment earlier, from when Kevin and I talked last Monday, which is, you know, the first half hour of the program. And that was that science, the testing of, for example, the vaccines was too short. It's a short period of time. And that it requires, I don't believe you were even poking at the vaccines, but I think you were. You didn't really mention them. But short term, too short a time on testing. We have to adjust our thought process on this. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't take time, but isn't it true now with science, if you will, with all the data, with computers and artificial intelligence, that we can't test multiple times? And also with the global collaboration that there was and probably still is, that we can't test faster, that we don't have to just sit and wait longer periods of time because it used to take 5 years or what have you? I disagree. Things are amped up with everything we do nowadays, and we have to really be thinking about that. Can't we come up with tests that are run billions of times by a computer? I believe we can, and we are, and we do. All right, everybody, happy Easter. God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in, and I do hope you have a great time with your family this weekend. Talk to you next week.